Welcome to break number 66. We are going through Nehemiah and looking at the obstacles that Nehemiah faced, and then we're looking to Paul to show us how to deal with these sorts of things. We can learn from Nehemiah the obstacles that he had, and we can even learn how we dealt with them, but we have to notice one thing, and I will get into that in chapter 3 here. So just like Nehemiah said at the end of chapter 2, he said in verse 20, "Then answered I them," because, you know, we have Sanballat and or Sanballat or whatever, and Tobiah and Geshem, who laughed us to scorn and despised us. So Nehemiah's answer to them was this: Then answered I them and said unto them, "The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem." Now, let's take note here in chapter 3 that he goes on now, and he is going to rebuild a physical kingdom. Now, this is a marvelous subject, kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. It's one of the most important subjects we can grasp. Well, there's a bunch of them we can grasp, but this is one of the biggies. And yet, it's an easy subject to deal with. I think it is. I know there's books written about it and charts and all sorts of things. I have a chart on my own website that explains this very simply. It involves a lot of scriptures, but it's not that you have to go to a bunch of scriptures to finally prove your point. There's a bunch of scriptures that continually show this whole difference between the kingdom of heaven, which is the Old Testament, and the kingdom of God. And the Old Testament includes the Gospels, kingdom of heaven, and then from Hebrews to James to 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude, that will also be the kingdom of heaven again during the tribulation. And then the millennium will be the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. So there's a direction for this whole thing. We happen to be living during the kingdom of God, and that's it. If we can deal with this today, maybe it's going to just be a general explanation. If you want to get into a deeper one, you know, go for it. All you got to do is get all the verses out that have kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God and put them together, compare them, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Now, this is very important because the awareness of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven exposes the falsity, I call it, of today's denominational church. They have their churches set up in a Old Testament kingdom of heaven manner. It's not a true biblical church. This will also help explain to listeners that why going to church isn't what they say it is. What the pastors put on the people, all the verses they get out of the Gospels, and then they go back to some Old Testament stuff in Psalms, and then they go to Peter and things. They're preaching a kingdom of heaven sermon. And we'll explain that. And it also helps people see the differences in Paul's teachings versus the teachings in the Gospels and why it is such an important subject to grasp. And again, it also shows the importance of knowing your entire Bible. Not just studying Paul's books, not just picking some of Paul's things and sticking with those like I know some Paul preachers do. No, we need to understand the Genesis to Revelation. We apply Paul's, but we understand Genesis to Revelation. So it will show what the church is today. I should say what the church should be today. Well, it will also explain what the local church has become and is today. It'll show what the church was, and it will show what it will be in the future. So you can see why this is such an important subject. Back to Nehemiah. Nehemiah saw a physical problem. He had a physical response, and he went about to fix it physically. Now, people mix up with the fact that it says kingdom of heaven, so they think we're talking about, you know, being up in heaven with God, and that's not what this is. Kingdom of heaven is an earthly, visible, there it is, work it out, kingdom. Kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. We'll get into more of that later. In chapter 3, we see Nehemiah going about to rebuild Jerusalem and the walls around it. We are privileged, actually, to see the details of all the work that he was doing. We see the gates mentioned. We see information about the beams, the doors, the locks, the bars. Even mentions the curvature of the wall itself. We can see who it was that did various elements of the projects. And we can even see a quick little comment in here where he says, "The nobles put not their necks to the work of their Lord," in chapter 3, verse 5. He explains all the details of the work plan, and yet he throws that one little jab in there. The nobles put not their necks to the work of their lord. So the uppity ups didn't do the work, it looks like here. So in chapter 3, we start off with the sheep gate. Then we read about the fish gate, the old gate, the valley gate, the dung gate, the fountain gate. It talks about the pool, the water gate, the horse gate. And when we round the curve getting past, we get right back to the sheep gate. So we started with the sheep gate and we ended up with the sheep gate, which I find quite interesting. But let's go on. And as we go on with this kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, we have to consider what this all represents during Nehemiah's day and then today, dispensation of grace. What we have today are pastors falsely teaching their people to be working the kingdom of heaven. It's an Old Testament concept with their supposedly called New Testament church. These churches today, local churches today, are just wrong in their doctrine, in their design, in their purpose, in their goals, in their importance, in their control of people's lives, in their construction, in their location, and in their attitude towards truth. So let's do a brief summary of this kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. If you want to look into it deeper than I'm presenting it here, go for it. You know, you can get on the website. I've got some other charts and some sermons that explain that, or just get out your Bible, which I recommend, and just look up those verses, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, compare them with each other, with Paul and the Gospels, and I'll tell you, it does not take a Bible scholar to see this. In fact, most Bible scholars, because they're so deep into their own thoughts and things, miss something like this, and I have in my notes there, missed it as much as Evel Knievel missed the Snake River Canyon. I don't know why I thought of that. I know Thomas out there in Washington was able to be involved with that situation. But anyway, it just kind of came to my mind. So this study, when I did this study myself, opened my eyes to many things that I still hang on to this day. I receive a lot of opposition about my belief on local church attendance, worship music. But it's based on the kingdom of heaven versus the kingdom of God. And like I say, there are many books on the subject, but they're very confusing. Some of them are denominationally led. Most of them are from Bible correctors or wrongly dividing pastors or authors or readers. I think you ought to just do a simple study on your own, as I did. And if I can do it, you can do it. But here it is as simply as I can put it. During the time of creation and the garden, both kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God existed. It was physical paradise with all the spiritual fulfillment of God's creation. Great place to start. However, when Eve deceived Adam, then the kingdom of God departed. Satan took over, and it all then became a physical kingdom only. God calls it the kingdom of heaven, an earthly kingdom, a kingdom that required the participants, God's people, to walk pleasing God in a physical manner. And they were walking in their lost state, but there had to be a physical concern. Now, you go through the Old Testament, it is a detailed history of the kingdom of heaven, with the leaders, the kings, being Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, Moses, Saul, David, Solomon, Jeconiah. Jeconiah's got a very important part to this thing. And then a dud, Zedekiah. And then the prophecy of what's coming through Daniel. And I have that chart on my website if you want to get into it. It's called Paul's Greater Commission. Then John the Baptist shows up, presenting Jesus as the ruler of the kingdom of heaven and stating he was going to bring about action in this kingdom of heaven, but also Jesus is coming with the kingdom of God. All they had to do was accept Christ as their Messiah, and they would have had both kingdoms again. What an opportunity. Christ would have set up his millennial reign, and on it would have gone. Both kingdoms present, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. However, they chose to crucify their Messiah. Then when Christ made an opportunity for him to return through Peter, telling the Jews, listen, you guys, Christ will come back. He would come back and set this all up again. They ignored Peter. And when Stephen came around to talk about it, they killed Stephen. So what they did ended up was sending away this kingdom of heaven. This earthly kingdom was no longer the emphasis from God. It became a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, and it went on to the Gentiles only. That kingdom of God was led by Paul as the only apostle, and that's where we stand today. The earthly kingdom was postponed when Jesus, through Paul, went on to the Gentiles, through Paul, as I say, and our concern today is a spiritual kingdom called the kingdom of God. When Christ returns a second time, he will instigate both kingdoms on earth, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. It's called the millennium, and the thousand-year reign of Christ will take place, and it will be a physical and a spiritual kingdom. So today, our emphasis should be and should only be a spiritual concern, not a physical concern. Our doctrine, our leading of God, our direction, our source of truth, our action comes from a King James Bible because which is perfect, has come. And that's where we get our direction from. That directs us in a spiritual kingdom. What we sadly have going on these days are just local churches falsely designed after the kingdom of heaven. They base their doctrine, their purpose, their goals on Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47, and that is all before Paul. As a result, what is most important to local church folks is attendance, social activities, programs to witness a false gospel, a design based on the physical needs, the building care, locations, numbers, fleshly music, and a false worship atmosphere, a preaching to please the people, activities to attract others as they devise ways to seek to have favor with everyone in their community. That's in Acts chapter 2. However, the true church today in the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It is the body of Christ. We look to Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 for the design and the purpose of any local church. And if no local church exists that follows Paul's purpose, then we don't have to find some church to go to that we can be part of, some kind of a social thing here. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's the risen Savior, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's the body of Christ. That's what church is all about. If you can find a church that's the goals, looking to Paul, then that church should be attended. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Now, I have on your notes some scriptures, just a few of the scriptures I pulled out of there to show you the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and some of the references are in Matthew and Mark as well, so you can see that it is talked about, but it is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God that they had a chance to have, and they blow it, so they end up just having the kingdom of God available to us Gentiles. Romans chapter 11 tells us that Christ then went on with Paul on to the Gentiles. He actually even gave Paul a chance to talk to the Jews at first, and when the Jews rejected Paul, fortunately, they didn't kill Paul, but they sure tried. So Paul gets out to the Gentiles, which is us, and teaches us the kingdom of God. And the whole concept of the local church is null and void if they're not teaching Paul. And I don't mean if they just every now and then talk about Paul. I'm talking about Paul's teachings, and Paul only as far as application, and yet teaching Genesis to Revelation in its proper manner. The tough thing for pastors today is the next thing that we have in our lives is the judgment seat of Christ. And if you want to talk to people about their day-to-day walk, the manner of life as Paul calls it, you're not going to build a church. That's why I believe Paul says to do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist doesn't build a church. He's just out to preach the truth. And I have seen so many evangelists and so many missionaries not preaching the truth because they need to get that support money. That was also another one of my disappointments I learned in life. Now, Paul definitely was a supporter of the local church. But like I say, if Paul isn't preached at that local church, then you're not interested in that church. There's no reason to struggle looking for that church to go to. Now, we can try to change a church to a Paul church. I tried that. We had it going for a while. Or we can try to start a church based on Paul's teachings. Well, we tried that, and the local Baptist guy took care of that, as well as somebody else who threw out a bunch of lies, and I left that scene. Or we can simply just get a hold of our King James Bible, apply what we learned by rightly dividing, and try to present a testimony as described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. That's what we can do. We don't need to worship God through fleshly worship music, and yet we can learn the proper place music has in our life as a Christian. It's that simple. So Romans 14:17, here's a verse that defines kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In Acts 19, verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. That was Paul's message, the kingdom of God. 3 months he went at that thing, disputing and persuading the things about the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom. Acts 28, verse 23, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Acts 28, verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's what Paul's ministry was about the kingdom of God. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That would be probably the hardest goal for a local church is preaching and teaching Paul, is that we grow in our faith and the charity of each one of us toward each other. Been down that road too. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So our walk should be actually showing us toward God that we are worthy of this kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom. Do we walk as such? Even though the emphasis is on spirituality, that should affect our day-to-day walk. Matthew chapter 3, here we go. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, so there's one reference. Matthew 4:17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's where the pastors get that sort of a thing. If you do your job as a Christian, God will add these blessings in your life. Well, yeah, that's the way it was during the kingdom of heaven. That's the way it is during the kingdom of God. Matthew 21, verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof, and that's the Gentile nation. So way back in Matthew 21, he already hints that he's going to take this kingdom of God and give it to the Gentiles. Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now that's the gospel of the Old Testament gospels, that they had to believe that he was the Messiah. But that isn't the same gospel that Paul preaches. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And that was Christ. He was there. He was the kingdom of God. They crucified him. They killed off Stephen. And Christ, the risen Christ, went to Paul, and that's the gospel that we have for today. As Gentiles, it's the kingdom of God. It is a spiritual kingdom. We don't have to rebuild the walls of our local church, or our country, or our city, whatever. We need to rebuild ourselves. We are part of the body of Christ. We should make some changes in our lives that would be worthy of the kingdom of God. And like I say, there is so much that can be said about that. You just read Paul's books and see how you can grow as a Christian. But we don't need to get involved with local churches that do not preach the truth of the risen Savior. and we certainly don't have to feel guilty about not attending. Unfortunately, trying to explain to folks and family most often just falls upon deaf ears, ears that are itching for fables, for things they want to hear, eyes that are closed, lives are being lived in spiritual darkness instead of the light of the risen Savior. And let's finish this up here with Paul's purpose in Acts 26, verse 18. One of his purposes was to open their eyes, that's Gentiles, that's you, that's me, and to turn them, turn us, from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Is our faith in Paul? No. Is our faith in Christ? Yes, it is. But the faith that he's talking about is the faith of Jesus Christ. And they just don't teach that anymore. So, on our next break, we will finally start to get into the specific obstacles that Sanballat and Tobiah throw at Nehemiah. I find it quite interesting. But if you could get a hold of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, you would find some massive eye-opening with what's going on in our churches and pastors and good people, friendly people, loving people, but they're wrong. And that's sad.